Good morning to everybody out there. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you again from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. We are in the middle of a series on, it'll be an extended series once again on Bible prophecy. And this will be our fourth sermon in this particular series. Today we're going to start dealing with what the Bible has to say about the nation of Israel. There are many out there who believe that the promises that were given to the nation of Israel have been transferred or given over to the church because Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you that nothing could be further from the truth. That statement will not hold up to scriptures. If you believe that the nation of Israel has been permanently set aside from the blessings of God, then you do not believe what the book of Romans chapters 9 through 11 teach. Before we get started this morning, I want to open us up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, and praise you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach and proclaim the word of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings, many blessings that you've given me, Lord. I want to thank you too, Lord, for that which I have to look forward to. And I want to pray too today for anybody out there that might be lost today, Lord. And Lord, I just want to thank you again for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless it. I pray that you'll give me clearness of thought, Lord, and open the hearts and minds of those that are listening out there today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as I was saying, we're getting ready to do this series now on what the role of Israel and the Jewish people is in end times Bible prophecy. Due to time limitations, there is no way that I can enter as deeply into this subject as I would like to. In this introduction, we will briefly deal with God's promises to the nation of Israel. Following this introduction, we'll also briefly deal with some New Testament doctrine concerning the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. We'll also deal with the fruits of the doctrine of replacement theology. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. We will include a broad overview of the biblical and secular history of Israel with a broad emphasis on the Abrahamic covenants and how they affect the future of the nation of Israel. I would encourage you to go to our website and read a series that we have up there on Israel, the Palestinians, and the church. We also have a series that we preached on the nation of Israel there that might help you out a little bit in this area. That particular study on Israel, the Palestinians, and the church is quite in-depth. We're also gathering some facts on how God has miraculously intervened on the behalf of Israel since her marvelous 1948 regathering as a nation. She was officially formed as a nation again on May 14th, 1948. And they were gathered back into the promised land. And we are also amazed at the way God has preserved and protected her since she was reformed as a nation. It is an amazing story. There's a video series out there that talks about, against all odds, Israel survives. It's available on the internet. You ought to go and download it and look at it. If you're a Christian, you will be amazed. And if you're not saved, it ought to give you some testimony as to the power of the God that we Christian folks serve. He's worthy of all honor, all praise, and all glory. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And we look forward to the time when we'll be able to look upon his face. We look forward to the time when we'll be able to look on the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we greatly rejoice in the marvelous victory that God has wrought for his people in raising the nation of Israel from the grave of nations as prophesied in the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. And that vision is given in Ezekiel chapter 37. We do not have time to go there and read it. But you should go and read it, and it will amaze you how that particular prophecy aligns up with the facts of the modern restoration of the nation of Israel. We rejoice with God, as he has stated in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 7 through 10, where he has this to say about Israel and her modern day restoration as a nation. Isaiah 66, verse 7. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. And believe me, I today mourn for the nation of Israel. She has been the victim of the greatest amount of persecution, slaughter, murder, atrocities that can be imaginable to mankind, and has endured that ever since she became the chosen nation of God. I want to tell you this, that God promises a blessing to all those that bless the seed of the nation of Israel. Genesis 12 verse 3 says this, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. If you want a blessing, bless the nation of Israel. If you want protection from God, then you bless and protect the nation of Israel. That's why it is so very, very critical that the United States of America would come down on the side of Israel at every opportunity that she gets. But unfortunately, with the man that we have in the White House now, President Barack Hussein Obama, that is not happening. He is the most anti-Semitic president that has ever been in the office of the President of the United States. He is a wicked and ungodly Muslim who claims to be a member of the Church of Christ. Now, I want to let you know this. God also calls Israel the apple of his eye. God has said that he has set the boundaries of the nations according to the people of the nation of Israel. A lot of people don't like that. That's what the Bible says. And that generates a lot of jealousy and hate out of the rest of the world. The people that hate Jews, the people that hate the nation of Israel. Turn now in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 8 through 10. Starting now at verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And you shall know, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. So we see that God says in Deuteronomy 32 that he had already set the boundaries of the nation of Israel according to the children of Israel when he separated the sons of Adam all the way back in Genesis chapter 4. That decision had already been made by God that the nations, the boundaries of the nations were going to be determined by those set for the nation of Israel. Now, what about that? That's amazing, isn't it? Now, in Psalm chapter 105, verses 8 through 15, God warns the nations of the earth, touch not mine anointed. Psalm 105, if you go and you read it in context and read it all the way through, is clearly talking about the nation of Israel and its people. Now, a lot of pastors that try to be dictators try to use that scripture to defend their unscriptural conduct in the pulpit and in running a church as a dictator would run a church. They're not protecting the Lord's heritage. They're not to serve in that particular mode where they lord their position over the heritage that God has given them. And the heritage of God that he has given them is that congregation. But in context, Psalm 105 deals with the nation of Israel and its people. And it warns the rest of the world not to touch the nation of Israel. Christian people that are right with God will stand for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. God refers to himself as the God of Israel 203 times in the Bible. That's amazing if you think about it. He never refers to himself as the God of any other nation. It's always the God of Israel. God refers to himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob 12 different times in the Bible. And by the way, many of those are in the New Testament. God said he was the God. God has never said that he was the God of Ishmael. And that's unlike what the Muslims try to tell you, that Ishmael was the chosen seed of Abraham. And that's not true. It was Isaac that was the chosen seed of Abraham. Ishmael, in fact, is in the bloodline of that devil, Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. He's in that very bloodline. I'm going to ask you a question. How many times have you been told that God has set the nation of Israel aside and given the promises of God that he gave to the nation of Israel to the church? How many times have you been told that? I can tell you this. It is not true. The question comes up. Has God set aside the nation of Israel in favor of the church? The Apostle Paul answers that question unequivocally in Romans chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. He makes no bones about it. He doesn't beat around the bush about it in Romans chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Here's what Paul had to say under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? Now, plainly in those verses there, it says that God has not permanently set the nation of Israel aside. Those, if you take a look at Romans chapters 9 through 11, they form a parenthesis in the book of Romans, and it's obvious that the Holy Ghost stops Paul to address what he knows will become an issue for Gentiles in the church at Rome if he doesn't deal with it. If you look at those chapters, they are a very clear, pointed, and specific warning to the Gentiles not to latch on to any doctrine that would permanently set aside Israel and the Jews in favor of the Gentiles. If you look at it, especially in chapter 11, Paul plainly rebukes any notion of that. To put it bluntly, that scripture that Paul wrote is a 2,000-year-old warning and exhortation against anti-Semitism in the church. To set aside Israel in favor of the church is a satanically motivated heresy that is rooted in the hatred of the Jews and the nation of Israel. That's plain, about as plain as I can put it. If you hate the Jew and you hate Israel, then you hate the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole idea of Israel being set aside is rooted in spiritual pride, arrogance, and ungodly prejudices. In fact, what God refers to it as is conceit. In other words, self-conceited. If you start putting yourself above the Jew, then you're conceited. You're presuming upon the mercy and grace of God when you do that. If you don't believe it, go and read and study Romans chapter 11 in context. Now I'm going to go and read Romans chapter 11 verses 25 through 32 to document some of the things that I've just said. Starting in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. Let me repeat that. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Listen to that scripture there again. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The gifts that God gave to the nation of Israel are without repentance. That's what he's saying. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. He's talking about through the unbelief of the nation of Israel, of the Jewish people. We have obtained mercy because of it. Goes on to say, even so have those also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. And that all includes the Jew and the Gentile. The church that the Lord Jesus Christ founded when he was on the face of this earth includes the Jew and the Gentile. In fact, the book of Ephesians, chapter, I believe it's in chapter 2, talks about the breaking down of the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile, that they might become one in the church of the living God. God's purpose, let me back up for a minute. If your theology causes you to have aught against the Jew or Israel, you had better adjust your theology to line up with the Bible. If your theology causes you to spiritualize Romans chapters 9 through 11 so that you can apply them, those chapters to the church, then you better back up and look at your theology again. It's not right. What I mean by spiritualizing is to read it and then not interpret it literally. The words that are there mean exactly what they say. God has not permanently set the nation of Israel aside. God's purpose in temporarily setting aside the nation of Israel is clearly stated in Romans chapter 10, verse 19, which leads up to the events there in Romans chapter 11. Verse 19 in Romans 10 says this, but I say, did not Israel know? For Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. If you know anything about Bible prophecy, you know that God deliberately blinded the nation of Israel, and it was prophesied of in the Old Testament, and seen it many times in the Old Testament that they would be blinded. Now what I want to deal with is my least favorite topics, if you will. I want to state at the outset of this particular teaching and preaching on the nation of Israel that we, and that includes me, are opposed to any form of replacement theology. Replacement theology teaches that the church replaces Israel in the promises given by God to the nation of Israel. And as you just saw, we've seen that that was not the case. That was not the case according to Romans chapter 11. Replacement theology is irreconcilably opposed to the God of the Bible and the Bible itself. Replacement theology is an anti-Semitic doctrine born of the spirit of Antichrist. I think you know what that means. And the Antichrist is a great persecutor of Jews and the nation of Israel. He is an individual that is possessed of the devil. In fact, the devil will enter into him again. Replacement theology is a doctrine that manifests itself in the pro-Palestinian heresy of most apostate American churches, including the Presbyterian Churches USA, the United Methodist Churches, the Episcopal Churches, the Roman Catholic Churches, and even some Baptist churches in the United States. This pro-Palestinian heresy manifests itself in hatred of the Jewish people and an almost universal condemnation of Israel by apostate American and international churches when she tries to defend the very country that God has given her. And by the way, I want to remind you of this. The Palestinian, so-called Palestinian people, were not a people that existed until 1964 when they come into the mind of Yasser Arafat, that murdering terrorist Islamic devil. It never existed as a nation until that point. In fact, anybody that was called a Palestinian up until that point in time was assumed to be a Jew. Now, as I was saying, just about every time the nation of Israel tries to defend herself against the attacks upon her territory and upon her innocent women and children, babies and old people, she is attacked by a lot of these anti-Israel, Jew-hating Protestant and Roman Catholic churches in America and throughout the world. You do not know what it's like to live in the nation of Israel. They just recently went through a series of attacks where there was over 1,000, almost 1,600 rockets were lobbed into the nation of Israel just here about 3 weeks ago, and today's December the 5th of 2012. But about 3 weeks ago, they were under a barrage of mortar shells, rockets, and missiles that were being daily lobbed into the nation of Israel. And then Israel was criticized for her response to that. Let me say this, there is no nation on the face of this earth that would willingly tolerate a daily barrage of missiles against its innocent women, children, and old folks. If you don't believe that, try lobbing some missiles into Moscow, Washington, London, Berlin, Damascus, Tehran, Cairo, or Paris, and see what the response will be. It will be an immediate condemnation, and they'll be ready to go into an all-out war against you. Israel is always criticized because she does not deliver a measured response to the attacks from the Islamic devils that are in the Gaza Strip and on the West Bank, who are killing, they're killing innocent Israeli civilians that include babies and old people and women and other children. If you are not a citizen of Israel, I want to ask you this question. What would you consider an appropriate response to someone who is trying to kill your women, your children, and your grandparents? I'll tell you what my response would be. It would be an all-out war until the danger was destroyed. The attacks upon the nation of Israel is but one of the satanic fruits of the heresy of replacement theology. Replacement theology is one of the greatest theological corruptions of the Word of God. The responsibility for what has now been thousands of years of persecution and slaughter of the Jews lies squarely at the front door of apostate churches the apostate churches that have preached and taught that the church has replaced the nation of Israel in God's plan. This replacement theology heresy has led to the murder of millions upon millions of Jews. Had the church of the living God rightly divided the word of truth, it would not have stood by idly while the Jews were being unmercifully persecuted and slaughtered by religious heretics, demonic political leaders such as Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, and just about any Muslims that walk the streets of any country on the face of this earth. The Muslims hate Israel, they hate the Jew, and they're taught that from their birth on. And it's taught in all their school systems too. I want to say this, had the heresy of replacement theology been set aside, there would have been no Jewish Holocaust at the hands of that wicked devil that we know as Adolf Hitler. Replacement theology is also the reason that most churches in America today will not stand for the nation of Israel. If you don't believe it, do some reading. I do a lot of reading, and I know what's going on in general in American churches. And for the most part, they are anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. And they even talk about divestment of any investments they might have in the nation of Israel. The other thing that replacement theology has done is it has almost totally stopped the evangelistic outreach of the church to the Jewish people. Let's say this, if you do not hate the Jew, then you will evangelize the Jew. There's a group of people out there that teach the heresy that we do not have to evangelize the Jew, and there's nothing further from the truth. The church is made up of Jew and Gentile, and we were commanded to evangelize the whole world. Go ye therefore, is what it said. Go ye therefore to into the whole world and teach the gospel. Any evangelistic program that refuses to reach out to the Jews is a God-hating heresy. Most of the Protestant harlots that came out of the Roman Catholic Church practice replacement theology. One prime example is that heretic Martin Luther, who hated Jews. Martin Luther hated Jews. If you don't believe that Martin Luther hated the Jews, do you an internet search and find the book, and it's located online, Martin Luther's book titled On the Jews and Their Lies. It is one of the most hateful diatribes that I have ever read by an individual that is supposed to be a Christian. The Roman Catholic Church is the apostate fountainhead of all religious persecution. And by the way, we see a lot of religious persecution. The majority of it today is being done by that bunch of peaceful people that they call the Muslims. And I use that term peaceful sarcastically. There is no way that anybody that knows the history of the nation of Islam and the people associated with that religion, I said the nation of Islam, I guess maybe that is a correct term, but the history of the Muslims is what I should say. Anybody that knows their history knows that they're guilty of slaughtering at least 270 million people to spread their religion. With their religion, it's either convert or die. Convert or have your head taken off by a sword. And by the way, I want to remind you of the book of Revelation, the preferred method of killing is beheading of people. I'm going to close out here today, and next week we're going to get back into some further material on the nation of Israel. I want to thank you for joining us today, and I pray that that God will richly bless you, and we look forward to having you with us again.